Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome back to the FSHD Society Radio Show. We are here live on, I guess, what, hour three?
We're going for our third hour today.
Whew. Here we go.
Exciting stuff.
Headed into the early evening. Yeah.
I know, right? This has been amazing. What a day. Like, can it continue to get better? I think it can.
Absolutely.
It's just been awesome. I mean, what a lineup we've had, right?
The guests have been great. The next hour here is going to bring some more amazing conversations, information, entertainment. That's what I think too. You know, we got some entertaining personalities coming up. Yeah, no, this is going to be a lot of fun. The next hour, what it holds is what we got. Kylie Higgs talking about the CTRN. We have Heloise Hoffman. Everybody knows who that is. Stephen Blyer as well. Yeah, we got a good hour in store.
This is another excellent hour. We got some good news. We should update the folks on where we are so far. We got money pouring in from multiple directions, right? We got some folks over on Instagram that are starting to kick in just a little bit, which is awesome. That's new. We've never raised money on Instagram before. Of course, we've got over two dozen people have set up their own Giving Tuesday Facebook fundraisers for us. So they're out there not only just pushing the button to make a donation, but soliciting their, you know, inviting their friends and families to also kick in. If they all make their goal, that's going to be like another 12 grand or more. And then, and that doesn't count all the people that just click donate, right? Those I can't see till tomorrow or the next day. And we know people are out there just donating directly on Facebook. That all counts. We're closing in on $28,000. It's come in already on the website. Okay. Directly at fshdsociety.org. So all in, we know that we're probably at or have surpassed $50,000.
Wow.
Already
very
today.
Good. Very good.
Right. And we have a huge match, right? $200,000 match for today. That's exclusive just to us from a couple of really generous donors that have kicked that in. So that means we're already at 100,000 when you add the match to it. So
we're getting
not
there. We're getting there.
Too shabby, my friend.
Not too bad.
It all adds up.
There's still work to do. We can't stop. Right. There's still work to do. We still have work to do. And hopefully with us being on right now, we're back in the, you know, eyes and ears of those. And they're like, oh, yeah, I got to donate. That's right. That's right. I was busy doing this or that today. I got to jump back on and donate.
Go to I hope so. I hope everybody can, you know, kick in a penny or a pound, whatever you got, you know, kick it in, it doubles, and it all goes a long way towards helping us reach that goal, right? Treatments by 2025.
Yep.
You know, the FSHD Society approved a record amount of research this year, $2 million in research grants.
$2 million were
approved this year, record amount in any one year. So we got more than a dozen, you know, organizations, industry partners that are actively chasing down therapies and treatments. And it's exciting. It's exciting. So pedal to the metal, man. We got to
keep
going.
This money is not just, you know, going to the show. I mean, this is.
Heck no. No. No, sir. We're not lying in our pockets. It's not just coming in for
research,
grins and giggles, right? Like, this is doing some real work stuff, some life altering stuff, right?
Yeah. So this is not going to the holiday party. This is going to this is going to research. It's going to good things. The 2025 push.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
We're about to go to 2022, so you know we're inching closer, and we need more funds to fuel the machine here and get this handled.
We do.
So, and we heard from Scott Harper. We heard from why is his name escaping me right now, Lee? Sharif. You know.
Yes.
And how they're joining forces more or less, and how that money helps that, you know, we heard directly from
Well,
their
that's
mouths.
what's so cool is, and our next guest, Kylie Higgs, she helps lead out and coordinate all of the Clinical Trial Research Network. I know she's going to talk about that. And one of the things the FSHD Society does so well, you know, very often nonprofits and therapeutic development, it can live in silos. People can be very sort of circle in and only talk to themselves and be proprietary. This community is nothing like that. And one of the things the FSHD Society really strives hard to do is to get everybody around the table to collaborate, share ideas, brainstorm and work together, because treatments and a cure can come from anywhere and it's going to take all of us. So that's what was so cool about this morning, is to see that we've got Sharif, who's working on a delivery mechanism, and Scott, who has a therapy that he thinks is going to work. When those come together, you know, it's infinitely more powerful. And that's where that collaboration and convening really is important. That's a key thing the FSHD Society does. That's a lot of what Jamshid Arjmand, PhD, our chief science officer, so fun to say his name. That's a lot of his work, right? It's getting all the key players to the table to make sure they stay in conversation and collaborate and work together. That's going to speed up progress and improve progress, and get us there by 2025, if not sooner. So to that first approved therapy. So exciting stuff. And it's kind of neat to see it all come together just today.
Yeah. Oh, it was exciting. I got goosebumps. I was like, wait a minute.
Me too. Me
you
too.
You guys know each other?
All right. Well, why don't I let Kylie right. and I get out of here? Nobody came to listen to me. They came to listen to you guys. So I'm gonna let you, I'll bring her in and I'll take off.
Sounds good. Okay. We have Kylie Higgs is getting clicked in here. No one wants to see just me sitting on their screen either. I want to see our amazing guest, People Powers at Work. We're going to talk CTRN with Kylie. Let's see here. It's working. It's efforting. Remember? That's
It's efforting. It's efforting. Yes. I can see the little dots popping their way in. That's so good. This is the fun part of technology, right?
Oh, it is.
We got people popping in from literally all over the world. And technology sometimes is slower than we want it to be.
Oh, it always is.
Yeah, we just keep getting thinking dots with Kylie.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know what happens? It happens.
It happens. I'm going to hang out and chat with you until we get Kylie on the line. I think she's coming.
Well, it kind of gives us a moment, though, because always have to thank our sponsors. So when we have these, I think sometimes maybe that's why. It's kind of like when you don't pay your bill, you know, the power bill, and that doesn't work. Maybe we have to thank our sponsors like Perkin Elmer, Dyne Therapeutics, Fulcrum Therapeutics. They bring the show here every month, and, you know, there's plans and talks for this platform in 2022, and that's all happening because of these great sponsors. So we are, you know, broadening maybe the reach. Maybe we're expanding. Who knows? All we know is that it couldn't be done without the good sponsors. And they're sponsoring this event today too, you know, so it's all part of that. And there's one thing to just have the podcast, this and that, but for us to turn this into something like fundraising events, a platform where the community can come together, like a hub, is huge for me. This is exactly what I was hoping for.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the years
absolutely.
Ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's kind of what we want. Are you still seeing little dots for her? I mean, this is unfortunate.
I am. I know. I just sent her a text said, maybe try again. Right. What's funny is she is, she's just up the road from me. So I'm here in Kansas City.
So is she driving over?
Kylie is just a little north of me. Well, south of me if she's at her office. It looks like audio's in. Kylie, do we have you here?
So sorry. Yes, I'm here.
Okay,
so sorry.
Good. We don't see you yet, but we hear you.
Oh, I didn't have my camera on. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Your camera on?
I can. I am
in
not
pajamas?
Looking the greatest. I'm actually hiding in a closet at my mother-in-law's house. So
what?
So sorry.
Hey, we're all coming off of Thanksgiving, and you
that
look
is wild.
Awesome.
Wild.
You look amazing. We're just so, so glad you're here. I'm going to pop out and let you and you and Tim continue the conversation, because you're who they all
sounds
came.
Good.
Yeah,
came
you're
to
the
hear.
Star here, Kylie. Well, thanks for spending some time during your maybe holiday time. Is that the carryover here?
No, oh. I'm working from home today. I had a doctor's gotcha. Appointment this morning, so I snuck off to the side. My daughter's with my mother-in-law and
okay.
snuck off into a room to do this.
Well, thank you for taking the time to do this and being a part of this Giving Tuesday event.
No, I'm happy
event.
To be here.
And yeah, you know, the people that listen to the show and have followed FSHD Society, you know, they hear, you know, CTRN a lot, you know. and I have on my list of questions I was given in a nutshell, what is the CTRN? You know, for those that might not quite understand what it is, and then maybe we can talk about how it all works and bridges the gaps within the research world.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, it's a clinical trial research network that four academic neurologists decided that the field was missing, needed a collaborative effort between our academic institutions to help bridge the gap between drug development and working with our industry partners and our collaborators. We all know that one of the things that our industry partners and the drug companies really want is natural history data, and to make sure that all sites are trained properly, adhere to the same regulations, and of course, have knowledge of the disease and a good patient base. So what started as four academic institutions has now grown to 20
wow.
international institutions, and we are actually in the process of adding hopefully some Canadian sites in the very, very near future. And then, you know, our goal is to continue to add some US sites and hopefully some European sites as we start to gain more funding. But basically, it's just a collaborative effort of experts in the field working together to collect natural history data or trial preparedness data. And ensure that sites are all trained in the same way, trained properly, have similar equipment so that when drug companies come to us and say, we are ready for a drug study, an interventional study, we're ready to just hit the ground running and not waste any time getting sites trained and up and running.
So how valuable is something like this? I mean, it sounds like it's immensely valuable.
Yeah. So I started working at KU about 6 years ago. I'm coming up on my sixth anniversary. And I feel for the first time, we're really starting to see all of our hard work come to fruition. I can say off the top of my head that we've had at least six or seven drug companies that are not publicly named in collaboration with the network who have requested our data from our largest study that's running within the CTRN, the RESOLVE study. That study started at 160 participants. Okay. When it ends, we'll have about 320 international patients in the study. And it is proving to be extremely valuable. This has been the largest FSHD study to date. And with the data that we have collected so far in this study, it's starting to wrap up in the US, but we're starting to enroll additional patients in Europe. But with this data, it's really helping further a lot of drug development with our industry partners. And then it's also kind of showing, showing that we are able to train sites correctly and efficiently.
Yeah.
And that, you know, okay. even through, I think one of the most important things as well that this study has proven is we've survived through COVID. We haven't lost a lot of patients. We've continued to see patients. We've adapted to the environment. We've gone to, you know, remote visits or, sending questionnaires home with patients. We've had to extend the study, which I think has also proven to be very beneficial, gathering 2 years of data as opposed to 18 months. So, yeah, it's proven to be very, very valuable, I think.
So with the chapters that the FSHD Society, you know, has, the patient engagement, is that also equally important in helping with the CTRN? Does one kind of feed the other?
Absolutely. So I think one very valuable interaction with the chapters and with the CTRN is bringing on more sites. Mm-hmm. So having a really active chapter and having that chapter identify a local neurologist that they feel is an expert in the field or, you know, knowledgeable about FSHD has been really, really beneficial because, you know, we then have the opportunity to open up additional sites and identify patients right off the bat who could potentially qualify for our studies.
Wow. So the other side of it is, okay, so you have, is this is patient engagement involvement in the CTRN so that they can be part of these studies. Is that also part of it, or am I misunderstanding that aspect of it? Are you drawing from the patients from the chapters and stuff to be involved within then that network? Is that accurate?
Yeah. So I think what we have found has worked really well, you know, especially with the Resolve study that started enrolling, I think, 3 or 4 years ago, that a lot of the local chapters, as they were forming, you know, were saying, hey, I'm in this study, go be in this study. So it really helped us identify additional participants. But I think that it's also extremely beneficial that, you know, if one person's in a drug study and the whole group doesn't know about it, they can at least let them know, hey, I was in this. So far, this has been my experience, and it can help encourage, you know, patients to participate in the future, especially as we start to hopefully get inundated with research studies.
Right, right. Man. So, you know, we heard earlier from, you know, Scott Harper and others in the research world. I asked the questions of, you know, do they believe that we are kind of on pace with our goal of a treatment by 2025? You know, from your vantage point, from your viewpoint, what do you say to that? You know, you think that as a community, we're on pace of hitting that goal?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there are no guarantees with any research study. That as researchers, we always have to give that disclaimer. Yes. We hope whatever comes to clinic works, but there are no guarantees. Our biggest thing right now is making sure that it's safe and then effective. But yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, we have been in close collaboration and it's public knowledge with Avidity and with Dyne Therapeutics. And then I know of at least 3 to 4 others that we are in talks with to potentially collaborate with them as they start to bring phase 1 studies to clinic as well.
Okay.
And then there's always, and then we always have, you know, we're always looking as researchers and as academic institutions at repurposed drugs, kind of like what Fulcrum did with losmapimod, identifying a drug that's already out there and see what effects that it has on the disease.
When it comes to days like this, a fundraising event like, you know, Giving Tuesday or the walk and rolls, you know, many of our listeners have helped, you know, fund the CTRN, you know, through those donations. So is this, I'd imagine that a day like this, this is kind of important from the aspect of your vantage point there, right? I mean, kind of helps fuel it. Where's this money going? It's kind of headed your direction.
It's absolutely crucial. The FSHD Society were, I mean, their funding could not come of it at a better time. They really were our groundbreaking funders, I guess what you would say. They helped, you know, fund the initial sites of the CTRN. You know, our first 3 years, we were able to expand to 12 sites. And then having that leverage has given us the opportunity to then help collaborate with industry partners and then other foundations to also, you know, leverage the funds from the FSHD Society to expand and to, you know, do more studies, which is our goal in the end.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So people donate.
It goes to a really good cause.
Exactly. It sure does. So what's your hopes then as we move into 2022? I've asked this question of others, but obviously each perspective is very unique and different. I know you talked about growth into Canada and maybe some European sites as well. You know, is that something that you're looking for in as early as this next year?
Yeah. So we hope to bring our hope. We're very close is to bring some Canadian sites on in the first part of 2022. And then, you know, I think something that obviously we've everyone in the community knows about is to help incorporate pediatrics into our studies as well. You know, we know that that is a group that has been, I don't want to say left out, but they haven't been in any research studies. So it's kind of also building on what we've already done with the tools that we have in place and helping put those in place for pediatric studies or for pediatric patients. So they can hopefully be included as more drug trials start to come to clinics.
Excellent. Yeah, I know that.
And then, of course, getting that first gene-based therapy.
Of course.
That's my goal.
Yes. Because I know that we've had representation on a past show of our early onset group that's just started. You know, so kind of targeting the young patients that I even, you know, shame on me, my own self of like, why didn't we talk about this sooner? You know, why haven't we talked about this sooner? So this is a massive impact that way then, right? The CTRN affecting those patients as well. I mean, this is huge. This is more than just one generation of this disease. This is helping the young as well.
Absolutely. Which is so hard because so much attention goes to the adult onset just because with all of the tools we have in place, it's easier to study adults and there are more adults out there. But obviously there is that need to also study the childhood onset and see how that progresses and what tools we can put in place to also track that progression.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, that's kind of important, you know, now more than ever that we're not forgetting the generation of the early onset, right? Even Gen Z, I know, Louise Hoffman is coming on next, and she's going to talk about that generation as well of being an impact on this disease, not only just to find the cure, but kind of raising their hands like, we have a voice in this too. And I find that we're getting stronger through the generations now, not just, okay, it's more common, yes, you get this diagnosis in your 40s or so on, but there's a good portion of people that, you know, can't be forgotten. So it's awesome that this is touching all of the aspects of the community.
For sure. And likely they're more affected. So it's, you know, capturing them at a younger age and when there are therapeutics that are available, getting them access right away.
Yeah. When it comes to anything that we can do, like as a community, you know, before we let you go, is there a way that, you know, the community can get directly involved? There might be some that it's like, okay, how do I get involved within this CTRN? Is there some steps I have to take? I guess that's my question for those that might be like, how do I get involved?
Yeah. So we have a Facebook page. We also have a website that if you just Google FSHD CTRN, it'll pop up. It lists all of our current sites. Some of our European sites are on there. We're waiting for contracts for a couple of our newer European sites. Mm-hmm. But there's a contact person at each site. You can always email me. My information's on there. I get people who email me from all over the world. I put them in contact with their local site. And then, you know, they get on a list at the site or they enroll in a study. Nice. Usually all it takes is getting on a list at a site near you. And then they reach out to you as they start to have research opportunities and see if you'd qualify. But research is very important. I know natural history studies aren't the funnest and they aren't the sexiest thing out there, but they are just as important, I promise you.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm glad that you said that. It means more coming from you than me. Well, thank you very much, Kylie, for joining us, taking some time out of your day and being a part of this event today. We really appreciate it and everything you do for our community.
No, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So there you guys go. That's another source of why this money is so important. Another example. Kylie brings it to you that way. It is important. Do we get the networking? I mean, just imagine having basically it all set up, ready to go, proper training, patient ready. I mean, it's just going to make things run really smooth. That's what we need. We need no more hiccups. You know, COVID was bad enough. You know, I think this is huge to have the CTRN working so seamlessly like it is. Okay, so I can't wait to talk to the next guest. Louise Hoffman has been on the show many times. Of course, we enjoy her personality, her energy. She's a musician, so many talents beyond that. big time FSHD leader, and we welcome her now. Hello, Heloise. How are you?
Hi, Tim. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. It's good to see you again. It's good to talk with you again. I did enjoy the walk and roll event when we had a live look in and you were performing some music then. That was awesome. You're so multi-talented.
Thank you. Yeah, we had a great event this past September. It was really empowering.
Yes. Oh, man. You know, how much did you end up raising completely for or total from the walk and roll? Do you know?
I'm still, you know, awestruck by this number. We raised almost $150,000 this year.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was crazy. So in total, we raised almost $75,000, but then we had actually a local, you know, philanthropist who was very touched by the cause and actually, you know, matched the amount really? That we raised, which was, you know, so touching because, you know, this was someone that I'd never met. Mm-hmm. And this really showed that people were wanting to get involved and make a difference, even if they didn't even know me personally. Mm-hmm.
Do you find that that's happening more and more, that your impact or, you know, your story, how you're moving people to get more involved when you didn't even never met them, never even maybe had direct contact with them prior, but it's something about you and your personality and your story that kind of brings them out to help?
Yeah, absolutely. I've found over the years, you know, as I've become more and more involved with the FSHD Society and open about my journey, I found that support is really pouring in from, you know, all these different places that I would have never expected. When I first launched the Walk and Roll campaign last year, the virtual campaign, that was my first fundraiser. So I really didn't know what to expect, you know, how people would react, who would even want to be involved in making a difference. I thought that I would only be, you know, touching the generosity of my family and close friends. But I found that that really wasn't the case. You know, my friends were sharing my posts and emails to their friends and their friends to their friends. And so, you know, everything kind of just blew up across networks. And I found that this year that happened even more. You know, there was a lot of publicizing of the event around the community. And so since we had an in-person event this year, last September, you know, we had a huge crowd show up of people that I'd never even met. Of course, there were other patients there and families of other patients, but people who had never had contact with an FSHD patient, myself or another patient in the chapter, were coming to the event just to, you know, support the cause, touched by our stories.
Yeah. Those that don't know, I mean, it took a little while, right, for you to come to grips with this FSHD diagnosis. Can you mind elaborating a little bit about that and about how you've kind of transformed into where you are now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is, I'm sure a lot of patients have experienced this, that when you first get your diagnosis, it's obviously very difficult to digest that this is something that, you know, you're living with, and that's happening to you. So when I first was diagnosed at age 13, I was a mutation in my family. So no one in my family had it. And I'd never even heard of this disorder. So it really came as a shock. And I thought that, you know, my life was being shattered right in front of my eyes. I had to drop my big passions of tennis and horseback riding because I just wasn't able to do those sports anymore. And I really saw my life crumbling in front of my eyes when I heard that diagnosis. And it took a couple years, around 2 years, for me to really accept it and digest it. And during that time, I didn't even share with my closest friends. Only my family and doctors knew. And, you know, when I moved to Florida, I started opening up a little bit more because, you know, it was kind of just a new place, somewhere that I could maybe like build a new identity for myself. And, you know, I kind of turned those pieces from my life that had shattered in front of my eyes into, you know, something more empowering. And I realized that although I have FSHD, it doesn't have me. And, you know, today I, of course, living with SHD is difficult. Of course, it's devastating. You know, your muscles are deteriorating in front of your eyes. And until we get a cure, there's not that much that we can do about that fact. But, you know, mentally, there's so much that we can do by standing up and empowering those around us to get involved. So that's really kind of where I'm at right now. I realize that my physical body is, you know, deteriorating due to this disorder, but FSHD can take my muscles, but it can't take away my love for life or my positivity or, you know, my activism.
Wow. Yeah, that's a very mature outlook for someone your age. I know it, sometimes it takes even adults that have had this for a while to kind of wrap their heads around the fact that this is what's happening, this like reality of what their life is. This is their something that they have to deal with. And I think it's remarkable that you were able to find your path and then use that as fuel to keep moving forward and then bring others with you, which leads me kind of to this next direction of question is, you know, how important is it to you and even to the community, in your opinion, to get more younger patients involved in the FSHD society?
Oh, it's so important. I mean, it's one of the most important things that we can do because, you know, it's commonly known for plenty of causes that, you know, the youth, the power of the youth, is very important in making change happen. Especially because, you know, younger patients like me, you know, we kind of are just in the process of finding out who we are, and then to be hit with a diagnosis like this at a young age, can be devastating. So finding all those younger patients and getting and showing them that there's a community of patients like them and an opportunity to get involved is so important, not only to make a difference in, you know, the pathway to a cure, but also to help those people just accept their diagnoses, which is, you know, the mission of our movement, Gen Z of FSHD, that started up kind of over the summer, and we've grown a lot over this year. And I'm really excited to see where we go next, because it's so important to get the youth community activated. Because, you know, I see that for myself personally, my activism is really what made the difference in, you know, taking control of my diagnosis and making myself control FSHD rather than the other way around. So I think the more youth we can get to do that, the more impact we'll have.
Yeah, it's amazing the group that's been started. Yeah, the Gen Z. Tell us a little bit about the formation of that group and who's all involved.
So in the early summer, late spring of last year, a group of us kind of got involved. You know, the key players here are kind of Lexi Pappas, who's heading up the New England chapter, Jacob Dunn, and Alina Jones, who's in England. Wow. And, you know, we're all, you know, in the Gen Z age range, and we're all pretty involved with the FSHD Society. And we kind of just came together and decided that we wanted to launch this group for young people with FSHD. And so it started out as an Instagram account, you know, where we post resources, tips and tricks, you know, just encouragement for people to get involved. And that group actually grew really, really quickly. And we saw more and more people following us and interacting with the posts. You know, we got so many positive messages saying that people have been waiting for a group like this for years. So it was really great to see the impact that we were having. And so we started thinking of, you know, having meetings where we could all come together and discuss and meet other young patients. So we had our first meeting in October, and we're planning our next meeting for December. Check the FSHD Society calendar for that. It's going to be a great meeting. We have two of our members who are going to be presenting about FSHD 101. So we're kind of, you know, also involving educational aspects. And, you know, this group, I see like the empowerment that others are getting from this group. So it's really great to see like that we're having an impact. And, you know, as young people, it can be hard to meet other young patients with FSHD because since it's progressive, there tend to be more, you know, more older people with FSHD rather than teenagers and Gen Z patients. Yeah. So it's really great to meet people who are, you know, at the same stage of life as you and, you know, kind of in having similar experiences.
What was that like then that you said you guys met in October for your first meeting? Was it virtual? Was it face to face?
It was virtual because, you know, we really wanted to be able to include as everybody. Many mm-hmm. people as we could. And we had a great turnout. We even had two international patients, one person from India and one person from Spain.
Awesome.
So it was really great to see people from all over the world. And that first meeting was all about kind of getting to know each other, sharing exercise tips and tricks, activities that we all like to do, just getting to know each other and sharing fun facts. So it was, you know, this was kind of one, as I've become more and more involved, I've of course met more and more people with FSHD, but this was kind of the first time that I was interacting with this many people with like of my age group with FSHD. So it was really nice to discuss with people who are in the same stage of life as me and having some of the same experiences.
Where do you see the group going as you guys keep pushing forward? I know I'm sure there's more meetings on the horizon, but is there any, you know, goals you guys have set out in the future of where you want the group to go?
Yeah, I have a lot of, you know, high expectations for this group. We're definitely keeping on growing on the Instagram and social media platform. And so more and more people are getting engaged and involved. I think in the future, we're hoping to, you know, start up kind of having monthly meetings, themed meetings, like educational meetings and tips and tricks meetings. So as I mentioned, our meeting coming up in December, we'll have two of our members, Justin Cohen and Russell Caradenuto. They're two very bright patients who are involved in research. Mm-hmm. And so they'll be presenting kind of on the basic mechanisms and genetics behind FSHD. So I know that's, you know, something of great interest to a lot of people. And then in the future, we're planning on having meetings, you know, with other guest speakers, and we want to get as many kind of youth guest speakers involved as possible to really reinforce our mission. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're continuing to stay involved on the social media aspect by continuing to post resources and tips and kind of events that are happening in the FSHD Society. And really our main goal for this group is to get as many young patients involved as possible, specifically in activism and fundraising, because, you know, obviously starting a chapter is a big step and a big responsibility, but there are so many other ways to be involved, like just holding a small fundraiser at your school or in your community. You know, there are just so many small ways to make a difference. And through this, patients would not only be making a difference, you know, in raising funds or raising awareness in their communities, but also with, you know, digesting and accepting and processing their own diagnoses and taking control.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we let you go, I definitely wanted to cover your, you know, involvement in regards to research. You know, I know you have a big interest in that. You kind of mentioned it with some of the speakers you might have within your Gen Z talking about the research side of it. But I know personally, you're getting more involved in it.
Yeah, obviously, compared to some of the other guests today, I'm kind of just dipping my toes in research. But that's definitely a huge interest of mine because to me, we're going to get a cure through activism, fundraising, and research. So I want to be involved in all three of those. So last year, I conducted a large study of sleep characteristics in FSHD patients. If you're watching this, you may have actually participated in the study through the online survey. And through this, I actually obtained the largest sample of FSHD patients in a sleep study to date, which had some really important insights about sleep quality and daytime sleepiness in FSHD. So I'm working on getting that research published right now. Mm-hmm. And I worked with Dr. Statland on that. And then over the summer, I also interned with a lab to characterize the DUX4 sequences on a nucleotide level. So, you know, I really want to be involved in research and do my part to advance the understanding and knowledge of FSHD so that we can improve treatment paths and get to a cure more quickly.
Yeah, you're getting a little more than just dipping your toe there, though. I mean, you're doing, you know, you're doing studies here. I mean, that's very interesting to me with the sleep study and all that. That's awesome. So is this something then that you're looking at as a career path as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm definitely planning on continuing to be involved with, FSHD in my career. My drive is to become a pediatric neurologist, actually, because when I was going through my my diagnosis process, my own pediatric neurologist told me that my pain was due to my teenage imagination. And that was something that was really hard to hear when I could feel that there was obviously something going on in my body. Yeah. So I want to ensure that no other child has to hear that from their doctor. And then I definitely want to continue research as well while I'm in college and as a career path.
That's awesome. That's great to hear, because you took kind of a really bad story. I mean, that's terrible to be told that. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to show you. I'm going to go do this better than you do. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, thank you, Heloise, for joining us today on Giving Tuesday, spending some time with us. I know the future is bright for you, even beyond FSHD. Once the cure happens, I can only imagine what the road looks like for you. You have so many possibilities. So thanks for sharing your story. Thanks for being part of our community. It's amazing what you're doing.
Thank you so much, Tim. Great to see you.
You too. You too. Oh, man. Heloise is inspirational. Man. Jeez. I am lazy. I don't do anything compared to that person. Holy cow. Okay. Woo. All right. We got more talent coming up next here, folks. Okay. Stephen Blyer is a musician of... He's amazing. He's an amazing musician and pianist. He is... also has FSHD. Many of you know him, but he is a master adapter in my mind, and he does not let FSHD slow him down, and he is proof of that. We welcome him now. Hello, Stephen. Good to see you again.
Hey, how are you?
I am doing great. Having a lot of fun today, meeting amazing people, you being one of them, because I love musicians. I cannot play an instrument. I don't sing very well. And when I get the chance to talk to musicians, especially someone at your caliber, it is always a treat for me because I'm just amazed by the skills.
Yes, well, you know, I'm amazed sometimes at how being a musician, and I've been a professional for almost 50 years now.
50 years, wow.
You know, how the flower never stops opening.
Yeah.
And the road never stops, and the development never stops. And I must say that one of the reasons that's especially true for a musician like me is that I'm playing with FSH mm-hmm. dystrophy. So I'm encountering new things I have to adapt to, mm-hmm. new ways, new things, new places I have to get around or learn how to do a different way. And it's been... I would have to say it's been bracing and stimulating, humbling. Mm-hmm. I hate that word when people use it in a false way, but I actually mean it. You know, you feel that the task gets more complex the more you know about it. That's true for everyone, and it's double that with FSH.
Yes. Yeah, I think I'd totally agree with that. And you talked about the flower keeps opening. I love that. That's a great analogy. How difficult, though, was to see that and to see that positive spirit during this COVID time? I know that was especially tough on the performing arts world.
Well, you know, the minute the lockdown, the pandemic and the quarantine happened, I made a few very firm decisions. One was that I was going to play the piano every day for a good chunk. I would say... an hour was my minimum, even when I didn't really feel like it, even when I didn't sound very good, mm-hmm. even when I had nothing special to work on, I played every day. And it was the longest sustained period, since I'm a collaborative pianist, of me being alone with myself and my instrument day after day after day. I haven't had that in decades, many decades.
Wow.
And, you know, if you want to get to know your knuckles and your wrists and your tendons, you know, that's the way to do it. And I can't say that I suddenly found that I had solved all of the piano problems that have plagued me, you know, that plague every piano. Everyone's got their thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't solve them, but I got to know them. I got to say, I know what to do about you, or I'm coming back to you tomorrow and we're gonna fight this one out.
Yeah.
And I think I actually made some progress.
So you had that isolated time to kind of work on that craft more than ever, you said. And it was actually, you turned it into a positive.
I turned it into a positive. I made a few other decisions too, which was that my concert series, New York Festival of Song, was not going to go underground, that we would do video concerts.
Okay, nice.
And we did a beautiful season of video video concerts and two video benefits, two video galas, that were extremely successful. In fact, the second one, which was just last May, was a program featuring nine very distinguished, actually superstar mezzo-sopranos. It was called How About Those Mezzos? And I had Isabel Leonard and Federica von Stada and Joyce DiDonato, Kate Lindsay, I mean, superstar mezzo, Susan Graham. And the finale was, and I don't know how we did this, because no one was in the same city.
Okay.
But we did a version of Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better.
Really?
Which we had a rewritten lyric for it that was special for them. And they each got their little headphones on and their iPhones out, and we assembled this incredible ensemble piece with nine of them. And at the end, Tom Hampson, the superstar baritone, came on to just sing three words, "No, you can't." And he was the unannounced visitor, but you know, we had a very successful season. And I learned how, I mean, it's odd to make accompaniments in your living room for someone who is not there.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just sitting there imagining, and then you start to learn when you send them something and they send you a scratch tape back, and you go, oh, there's a little consonant cluster there that takes a hair more time. And you start to see tiny, tiny things that if they were in the room, you would just do, because you would hear them in a second. But when they're not there, the accompaniment starts to become this sort of piano fantasia. Well, guess what? It is, but it's not. It's a piano fantasia that has to go with someone singing. And there were some unbelievable, subtle, flexible performances that we got with two people on different continents and different time zones not performing at the same time, because they would just put a headphone in and sing to my track. It was kind of karaoke night on a very high level.
Yeah. Man. Now, did that all happen, though, live during those events?
No, it was not live.
So it was all pre-recorded, and then trying to put all that together.
And I pre-recorded, and then they sang to my pre-recorded tape.
Oh, my gosh.
And then my beautiful videographer, Jonathan Estabrooks, who got to know me pretty well during this thing, assembled the two videos with the singer and me, and turned it into something quite beautiful.
Wow.
But there are times, I mean, almost all the time, people didn't understand that we weren't doing this in real time.
Yeah.
They kept saying, what software do you use? I thought, I don't use no software. I just play and they sing later on, and somehow they rehearse with it enough that they have learned every little twist and turn of my crazy accompaniment, and they're right with me.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I've seen, some live performances where they try to stream it, but really it was only like one musician usually kind of doing everything, or maybe they were two might have been in the same room, maybe they were trying to do the timing via Zoom or something. And it always seemed a little bit disconnected, like they weren't quite in sync. That is just phenomenal to me that you would play the music, someone sings to it, like you mentioned, karaoke night, and then that video. Where can people see that? Is it still out there that people can view it?
It's not up right now, but it I think we're going to try and rerun it, or it might end up being something that they could hook on to as a gala donation or something. Well, I don't know, but I'm hoping that those
Hoping it
videos are
resurfaces.
not gone forever. In fact, some of the singers are posting them now.
Oh,
Sasha
good.
Cooke has our performance up on her Instagram. I might be, gosh, we did a few songs together. We did Take Me to the World, Take Me to the World together. That was exquisite.
So you've have you done live performances recently again?
Yes.
And what was
Yeah,
that? What was
my
that
first was
like, those
August
first ones?
1st. Was that?
I said, what was that like, the first, ones that you were live again in front of an audience after being in quarantine, for an extended period like that?
Well, it's interesting you should ask, because in recent years I've started to have a certain kind of odd stage fright. I'm not afraid to go on stage. I'm not emotionally frightened, but my body sometimes, if I start hearing negative voices, my body can really lock. And as an FSH guy, I don't have a lot to fight it with. If my arm locks, I'm just doing the best I can. People don't always know it, but I know that that arm is not free. I am not playing freely. So when I went on stage on August 1st, I made a deal with myself. I first of all, I practiced those 17 pieces hours and hours for 2 solid months. I just thought, I am not leaving this to chance. It was a concert I had done on in a video form, but the time before I'd been with two other pianists, and I'd given those ladies all the hard songs. I just took the beautiful, easy ones. Suddenly, I was doing the same concert, and I had to do the hard songs myself. So I put myself to a test, and my one requirement was not to play perfectly, but to play beautifully, and also that my arm would feel comfortable and the way it did when I was at home on my very best days. I wanted a soft arm. I said, "If you play well, I am buying you a present, Stephen. And if you don't play well, if you don't, we're retiring. That's it. It's over. I'm not going to go through this anymore because it's just too much. There are other things to do in life." Well, I did play well.
Good. So
I'll show you the present.
they'll say, what did you buy?
I'm a fountain pen collector.
Are you? I didn't know that.
This is my
Oh,
fountain
it's
pen.
gorgeous.
Yeah, it is a beauty.
Wow.
It's an aerodiplomat, and they didn't even pay me to tell you.
We need them to be a sponsor now.
Yeah, you do.
Because they're going to sell a lot more of them after this moment, I guarantee it. People are probably right now trying to figure out, where can I get one of those?
Yeah.
That's good. I'm glad that it worked out. I'm glad you got yourself a nice gift, and then you continue to play on. So then what does 2022 look like for you? What is the next year as you roll it over, right, from one to the next? What do you have in
Well,
store?
I've got a bunch of concerts coming up. My Juilliard concert's in January. Actually, next week, next Monday, I'm doing my traditional, very New York Christmas show, which is called A Goyish Christmas to You, which is all the Christmas songs by Jews.
Nice.
some of them with new lyrics.
Very cool.
We have a very funny lyric for chestnuts roasting on an open fire, but also some comedy material, and then just some songs that you'd be surprised. Winter Wonderland is by a Jewish composer. Obviously, the Christmas song, everyone knows that White Christmas, is by a Jewish composer.
Nice. So yeah,
and then a season of concerts, Juilliard, and I'm doing an Argentinian song, a concert about Buenos Aires in February. So the beat goes on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But the big endeavor for me is that I think during the pandemic, I started to realize concerts are great. And I do always want to be in that concert hall energy. Mm-hmm. But they are, in the scheme of things, they are very difficult, very time-consuming blips. They come and they go.
Right.
And audiences enjoy them. Then some critic sort of has the last word. Actually, his words last longer than my notes. Something he wrote in one evening,
right,
you know, supersedes what I did over 4 or 5 months of work.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's not right. Mm-hmm. That really isn't right.
No.
I've always thought that was not right. And I put it to my board at NIFOS, New York Festival of Song, that we've been talking about a NIFOS record label for years. And I said, guys, I'm about to have a very big birthday, which I had on Thanksgiving.
Nice.
And that record label is happening. Mm. It is happening. I don't have any more time to wait. So NIFOS Records is actually happening. Our first two singles are out. They are available on all platforms.
Nice.
They're both live performances from the archives. And the third single will be out December 3rd, I think. Mm. And it's from our Christmas show. It's our version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in Yiddish.
In Yiddish.
Which, it's fabulous.
That's awesome. That's great.
It's absolutely fabulous.
Well, congratulations on the label. That is phenomenal.
It is phenomenal. I've wanted this for 20 years.
Wow.
Longer.
Good for you. Way to go for it. And that's great.
And something happened. I mean, during the pandemic, I just realized life is short. Mm. You can't keep saying one year or other, you know, we'll keep raising funds. No, now. This has to happen now.
Right. Last question before we let you go about, you know, you're here on Giving Tuesday, bringing your positive energy, your adaptive nature that you've proved to us time and time again. How important is a day like this in your perspective, you know, getting the word out, getting funds raised so we can try to hit our goal for a treatment?
Well, of course, it's crucial.
Right.
This is what we call send Steve to dancing school. You know,
yeah,
that's how I think of Giving Tuesday. Just, yeah. I want to go to dancing school.
Yeah.
So people should give, and a lot of people want to go to dancing school. There's some other things I'd like to do in my life. Mm-hmm. I would like to get up and do the dishes again.
Oh,
right. The first thing I would do.
Really?
And then I would hug my husband.
Nice.
And then I would hug a lot of
people. Wait a minute. You're going to do the dishes first before you hug your husband?
I am.
Oh,
because
wow.
Because he's done the dishes for a long time now.
Gotcha.
And believe me, I think it would mean as much to him as a hug.
Yeah.
If I got up and did the dishes. But of course, they're so close to a cure. I mean, the research has been phenomenal. And so the dollars aren't just dollars to make the donor feel kind of momentarily good. These are dollars that are going to change our lives. They're going to change my life and all the people that have FSH.
Maybe
other diseases too. I mean, it's, you know, this research is apparently leading to cures for other conditions. Mm-hmm. So I exhort everyone to be generous, because this is real and this is happening.
Yep. And we got to send you to dancing dance.
And I think I need to go to dancing school, for God's sake. What do you think? I'm not getting any younger.
I love that. That's the best. Stephen, it is a pleasure talking to you yet again. You're amazing. Thanks for bringing it today and bringing all that energy and spending some time with us. We really appreciate it.
I'm very grateful to you. Thank you.
Excellent. That is Stephen Blyer. Folks, you check it out. He has his record label out right now.
Nyfos Records or Nyfos New York Records. Festival of Song.
New York Festival of Song. You heard it here first.
Just click on it or my name. Got some really good music there.
Excellent. I'm going to check it out. That sounds awesome. Thanks, Stephen. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow. I love talking to that man. He's got such great energy and style, and
he's fabulous.
Yeah,
he's fabulous.
Yeah, he is. He makes me, I don't know. Like I feel like when I talk to Stephen Blyer, that my posture changes.
I found myself sitting up a little straighter.
Yes.
Right.
Like I have to be absolutely ready. I don't know. It's like he makes. Yeah, yeah. It's a good thing. It's a good thing, and I just enjoy talking to him very, very much, and. Yeah, and I kind of see him as one of the, I don't know what you want to call it, like the early, you know, FSHD Society, you know.
He's sort of like the Grand Master,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like he's
right.
Hierarchy. Yes. He's, he's high up there. Mm-hmm. And what an exciting hour this was, because we had someone like Stephen, who has been sort of leading the way as the Grand Master, right, for some time. And then you have Heloise, who is bringing up that next generation. Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of magical to see the continuum.
Yeah.
Right.
I think June did it again, didn't she? She
did.
She's sneaky that way.
She wielded her magical powers.
Yes. Yes.
And I don't quite know how she does it. I'm a little in awe of her, but you and I just get to sit here and look good because she's booked all these amazing people.
We have to get her like an award, like Booker of the Year. I think there is actually something like that. You know, I see all these other radio shows have these bookers getting these really great, you know, big time guests and names, blah, 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 blah. It's the timing.
None of them hold a candle.
You pair them. Yes.
None of them hold a candle to
June.
No,
she's the best.
You know, and so we've officially topped over 50,000 now. The money has continued to come in. I cannot wait to see the report on Facebook somewhere in the next 24 to 36 hours when they let us know how those individual donations are going. But we're well over, we're over $33,000 on the website. We're a little more has trickled in on Instagram. We still have all these people, all of the Facebook fundraisers that people have done, those continue to climb. It's exciting. This is a pretty amazing community of people and all pitching in what they can for the greater good. And we're not done. We got another hour. We're going to bring it home. This evening, and nobody will be working, right?
No,
all those folks
driving
that are in their day
home.
Jobs are going to be home. There's nothing good on TV.
No.
You don't want to watch that. You want to watch the radio show.
You can
watch
that show tomorrow. You know what I mean? It's on demand and all that stuff, and you know, DVR,
Hulu,
or whatever.
Netflix. Catch up with it later.
Catch up with it later. You don't need to see, you know, that last episode of Squid Game quite yet. Just
this is the place
watch
to be.
This, yes.
FSHD Radio is the place to be. I'm super excited. We've got, again, another fabulous slate this evening of some great guests coming up. Always a pleasure to talk to
Jamshid Arjamand. Oh, man, right?
Yes. It's just so fun to say. I know he's rolling his eyes at me if he's listening right now.
He is, but you know what? He could actually be, you know, I heard that the 007 role is still like, you know, they're trying to find someone.
I think he could moonlight, but I don't want, not until we get things figured out here, because we need him. So
that's true.
He's brought
after
an
cure,
awful
after
lot,
cure.
You know, as the first ever chief science officer for the FSHD Society, he has really upped our game and done a tremendous job. So we want to keep him around for a while. So once we knock this thing out, then we can let him go on to his career.
I guess.
You know, and Renee Beaker, she's going to be on. She's from the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. She is one of the sweetest women I think I've ever met. I had a pleasure of chatting with her earlier this week. And great story. It's going to be great to hear from her. She started joining our wellness hour and thought, you know what, there were some ladies on the group that thought we could use a group just to talk about women's issues. Mm-hmm. And so she started the Women on Wellness group. So that's how one person's action sparks another. And so these affinity groups that we're building are really filling a void for people and giving them connection. And she, just like you, when you said, hey, I want to start this, we need a podcast. And we threw you on live Facebook to boot.
Which scared everybody.
Yeah, she did the same thing, you know, and said, hey, I think we need a group for just for women. And that started that. And then, of course, your friend, Molly White, who's the global head of patient advocacy and engagement at Dyne Therapeutics. So we got another great hour later on this evening.
Yeah.
So are you going to make me do the numbers again?
I don't know. You got the numbers again? I mean, no.
I do. 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Mountain, 6 o'clock Pacific. I'm getting good at this.
You're
now.
So good at it. You're so good at it. Why would I take that away from you? You'd cry. You'd say, wait a minute. I didn't flub it up once. So no. Give it to me again.
All right.
All right. Good.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, guys, keep chipping in what you can. Donate wherever you can. You can donate on Instagram. You can donate on Facebook. You can donate on the website at fshgsociety.org. All of that money goes into the total. Our ridiculously amazing and fabulous matching donors have put up a $200,000 match specific to FSHG, specific for today. We want to claim all of that one little donation at a time. So do what you can. And we just want to keep fueling progress. That's the important thing. It fuels progress is what it does, so that all of us at the FSHD Society are trying to work ourselves out of jobs. So that's the goal.
That's right. And I'll move on my podcast to the after cure podcast. Yeah,
exactly.
What are we all doing after the
afterglow?
That's right. Awesome. Well, thanks folks. We'll see you in a little bit. We come back for that fourth hour, a fourth segment. Take care. We'll see you soon here on the FSHD Society Radio Show, Giving Tuesday style.